Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are talking about progress reports, specifically progress reports about where you are in your life in relation to your birth date code and the things that you're intended to accomplish here on the planet. So we're going to be getting into that in a moment, but first I want to invite our listeners and callers to join us here on Blog Talk Radio as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. If callers would like to speak with us, please press 1, or we won't bring you on. So press 1 to raise your hand if you would like to speak with us. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for more conversation than the radio show can accommodate. So if you have additional questions beyond the one that you're allowed on the show, then do call that number. And what else, Neil? Anything else? It's allergy season here in California, that's for sure. But we won't discuss that too long.
It is the all the rains brought out more allergies, more pollen, more insects, but more bloom as well.
Yeah, it's nice.
And the rains are great. Levels are up, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that's nice to hear. And the drought is officially over, at least in California.
Really? Is it in Southern California, too?
I believe so. They at least it's in a better place.
I wonder if we'll get, you know, the same amount of rains this year or if it will be another dry season. This last winter was the rainiest season I've ever seen here.
Yeah.
For the duration that I've been here. So
it's probably going to be nice. A lot of sun, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, anyway, on to our discussion, Neil.
On to our discussion real quickly before we get to our callers. The idea about we as creatures, animals, above the animals, we're human beings, and we start to what really differentiates us between ourselves and the animal kingdom is that we start to think about our purpose in life. What is our purpose in life? What are we supposed to be doing? And that gets more into the intellectual concept, the existential concept, the purpose of the soul and the spirit. And as far as we have a certain, if you will, purpose in life or mission, something to accomplish, because most of us feel we have something to do down here. I mean, there's a lot of people who feel purposeless, but nonetheless, they're on the planet, they're existing every day on some kind of level, they're surviving. They're fighting to stay alive to some extent. We're not talking about those people depressed, but for the most part, the majority of us are here trying to figure out how to get to the end goal line, how to get to that place where we really establish our purpose and succeed. So what you have to do is sort of look at your life and say, what are the things that I'm striving for? What am I trying to accomplish? What are my dreams? What are my aspirations? And how close am I to getting there? How far am I? Or whether or not I've accomplished some and still working on others.
Right. But let's talk also about the fact that people's dreams often are not in alignment with higher purpose. So that is something that has to be figured out by each person too, because, you know, people might have these aspirations that have nothing but lower vibrations within them. So if you know, someone might achieve their goals on the planet, but they're going to come back. So determining what one's higher purpose is going to speed up the process.
The
keep coming back.
if we have a certain karma to deal with and it's manifested in a conflict, or that may be possible. We have to consider in our terms of our higher self and where our progress is, how much karma we're working through. So, for instance, if one is having dreams that doesn't seem to be that important, or they're caught in a conflict of some sort, they're basically still in the psychological position of life, and that means they're working out psychologically, not spiritually, but psychologically.
Right. So people have to go through those motions, is what you're saying, sometimes to be able to get to the next level.
Well, sure. I mean, coming back to the planet, everything can't be extraordinary. We do mundane things. We have boring moments. We eat. We sleep. I mean, not everything is inspirational with, you know, harps and trumpets playing. We have to look at our life and measure it, like T.S. Eliot said, measurements of spoons, coffee spoons, teaspoons, and how we measure each day and whether we are actually moving towards actualizing ourselves, or we're stuck in some kind of dilemma and we're just sort of leading this mundane life and we don't seem to be going anywhere except ultimately to the grave with somewhat of an uneventful future to look forward to, or not look forward
right
to.
And this can be indicated by the birth date code, that might be our
some
sense
of us,
in life.
Some of us, unfortunately, are here to endure, and that's the sad part.
We know
part
plenty
of
people that are in that position.
And and if that's your cross, if that's what you have to pick up and endure, then that's what it is. But you know, you and I, Kristen, we do believe in aspiring to greatness and brilliance, and you know, the heck with what the karma says. If you still have the right to express yourself in the highest form, and to break codes that are otherwise pre-existing or well established in your life. I mean, certain things you can't change, but we're proving as we move forward as a people, that we can break modes. I mean, men are becoming women. I mean, all kinds of things are happening now in terms of science. And so you think to yourself, well, that's reality, whether you'd agree with it or not.
Neil's going to do that in the next couple weeks.
I'm thinking about becoming a Dalmatian without
spots. Without spots.
So when you're trying to figure out, okay, well, I have certain goals, aspirations I'm trying to achieve, and this is what I've done so far, and this is what I've yet to do or accomplish. And you have to measure, in a way, how far you are from that. And then after you measure how far you are from your accomplishments, try to depict or at least investigate what's going on in your life currently that you're stuck in. Is it a relationship? Is it a job? Is it a money situation? Is it a health situation? And then what you have to do with that topic
is
try to match it to a chakra.
Consult it, match to a chakra, or go to the code.
Match to a chakra in your body. Where is this coming from? My first, second, third, fourth chakra. And then also maybe to a code in your birth date.
Right.
If it's coming from the second chakra and you have a two in your birth date, look and see where that two is located in the birth date. What numbers are surrounding it? What might be the conflict that it's stuck in?
Well, it's like, you know, goes too far.
Yeah, but the idea that we are trying to figure, it's like a problem solving, like a word problem or a math problem. You're trying to figure out by way of some design in your life, how to specify that into a condition of your body or your soul. So and that is where the problem may be. And then let's say you're having a relationship problem. So normally that would be second chakra, probably with some collection of the first chakra, home base, security. Then it leads itself up into the relationship department. And if you're having a problem in a relationship, we have a lot of clients that are having problems in relationships, and they can't move forward until their relationship problems are resolved. They just feel stuck until that. Oh, they live, they exist, but they don't really live in the way they want to. So you have to kind of look at that chakra and figure out what is the content of it. Sometimes it can be released through not normally just breathing. I mean, some people say, well, you know, just go to the chakra and breathe and put light, white light there. But that doesn't always resolve the problem. That's like saying, I have a messy room and I know it's messy and I keep it in the dark. And so somebody says, well, just turn on the light and then the mess will go away. It doesn't always work that way. You just can't turn on light. Now we're talking about energy. And of course, if you want to clean a messy room and you have the light out, turning it on gives you some visibility and some course of direction. So yes, breathing through a chakra and getting it to come alive, to light up, so to speak.
Can start to activate a certain energy, but it needs to go further. For instance, you can't put a Band-Aid on cancer and make it go away.
No, you have to, sometimes you have to do some.
There has to be deeper.
So in that respect, in terms of your progress, sometimes progress for me demands cleaning up. You clean up things. You clean up old habits. You clean up demons from your past, the way you've been brought up, situations you have with.
Right, changing your thought processes and everything that, you know, the structure of your brain, the way you think.
The thought forms.
Because that can perpetuate.
That can activate. So you think of yourself as a victim, or you've always been put down, and your history is a lot of rejection. It's not going to really do you any good if you feed into your history and keep feeding it. What you have to do is redesign your thinking, and that might take a little bit of imagination and pretend playing, role playing, creative playing like kids do. You know, I'm Superman. I wore my cape today and I'm Superman. Well, you have to sometimes envision yourself as being higher than what your history tells you you are, or your genetics tell you you are. And that creates a thought form. That tells your brain that there's something else going on there that wasn't there before. And your brain starts to search for the reality in your body, for that essence. And what it does in essence is it spreads its energy. It's like pollen. It spreads the idea that it's searching for a superhero. It's searching for a resolution. It's searching for something higher. And as it does, it leaves like footprints. I remember back, real briefly, back in time when Alfred Hitchcock did the movie The Birds. And all you saw everywhere you went were billboards that said, "The Birds is coming." And it would show a picture of Alfred Hitchcock with his finger pointing to the words on the billboard. And people were going, "What the heck is that? The Birds is coming? Alfred Hitchcock?" Well, people usually knew who Alfred Hitchcock was. But back in those days, there wasn't the mass communication of commercialism we have today in the internet and everything. So billboards, you'd be driving and see a billboard, and suddenly you see Alfred Hitchcock's face with his finger, index finger, pointing to the words, "The Birds is coming." And he was very good at, even in Psycho, the trailer for Psycho, he would walk up the steps and he would say, "This is a normal home, blah, blah, blah." And then he lifted the shower curtains and heard that shrieking Bernard Herrmann music. And then it said Psycho. And that's all he showed. Well, sometimes you have to do a little bit of intriguing energy in terms of yourself. Tell yourself that something great is going to happen. Something's coming. That you, and start to envision
West Side
like a director.
Story.
Yeah.
Something's coming.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's a part of the lyrics. It's not part of the song.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's not part of the lyrics. It's part of the lyrics, not part of the song. It is.
Yeah.
The,
yeah. It's part
it's,
of the lyrics.
It's not the name of the song. Is what
yeah.
you mean. But something's coming is.
Yeah. The guy, the main character,
part
sings,
of the lyrics.
Sings it.
Right.
When, talking about Natalie Wood.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're getting.
Well, you're talking about movies, so.
Yeah. Something's got to give, too. Well, but anyways, that's just a clue and a sign for how we can start to not just be swept.
So you're
up
saying anticipating something that is more than the what you're expecting on a basic everyday level will help to And what are you saying? Anticipating something is going to help change the birthday clock?
It can. It can, because it creates a sense of energy in your body that's exciting. You know, it. You have to create an energy of higher order in order to get yourself out of a rut. And if you're looking at your progress report of your life and you're not happy, then change it by redesigning your thinking, maybe redesigning your location, changing something, getting rid of something. These are the obstacles sometimes that are that are embedded with the very karma you're trying to get rid of. And if you keep it there, it's going to be a problem. It's like the guy that I went to a reading. I went to a person's home once, and I said, you know, I hate to say this, but there's a cat odor. There's a urine cat odor here. And he goes, oh yeah, that's in the chair. That's the chair. I know. I go, well, that's in the chair. Yeah, the cat pees on it. I go, well, why don't you get rid of the chair? And he goes, well, then I wouldn't have anything to sit on. I go, oh. Well, the idea that you sometimes, you know, sometimes people think they need to keep their baggage because it's useful, even though it's not healthy. Well, get rid of the chair and get a new chair. Fumigate your home. You know, you gotta change things sometimes in order to get yourself out of an energy so that you can start to mark your progress. And I think it's just common sense. We're not saying anything extraordinary here. But in terms of changing your life and relating it to your birth date, the code in your birth date, the code in your chakra system, this might be a little bit more novel than not in terms of how to look at one's life and manifest it to the best degree.
Okay, let's take some callers. 313.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Cliff. How are you guys doing?
Oh, Cliff. Hey, how's it going, Cliff?
Great, great.
It's been a long time since we've heard from you.
Yes, it has.
Remember, there was something last time regarding a neighbor or something odd going on. How did that resolve? Do you remember?
It was a piece of bread. I think maybe a squirrel
bread,
did
yeah.
something. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
You don't know what happened?
It was just odd. Nothing came of it.
Can you talk right into your receiver? Because it's a little bit tough to hear you. And I am blanking on your birth date. I think you're a four, but I don't know. I don't remember.
Yes, 328.62.
328.62. 8, 9, 10. No, you're not. Yes, you are. 31.4.
That's a four.
So I did remember. I remembered. What's your question today?
A good friend of my mother's, she passed recently. She had no close family that she knew. My mother was the closest thing to a sister she had. She had a substantial estate, and so far there hasn't been any indication of a will, which seems kind of odd to me because she was a very accomplished and very organized person. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't think that she would leave a multimillion dollar estate just dangling in the breeze. I was wondering what, if anything, you see regarding that. Was there a will? Has it been hidden?
And so she doesn't have any heirs.
Well, she has a family that she doesn't even really know, and she doesn't have a relationship with.
And
so
when did
these
she
are
die?
Basically. She died. Let me see. She died January 16th of this year.
January 16th. So her estate is just kind of hanging in the balance here without any resolution.
Yeah.
And you're
right.
Wondering if your mother is going to be named in the will, of course, because they were so close.
Right. It just seems odd that she would not have, that she would just leave that type of wealth out there like that. But so far the staff is saying they don't have anything.
Really? Wow. And how old was she when she died? Like in her 80s?
She was 80 years old. She was been She would have been 81 August 14th of this year.
August 14th?
Yes, she was born in 1936.
1936. Well, this is a mystery. What do you think, Neil?
You know, it's interesting, the 814 and 328 for Cliff and this woman, they both come to 13 in terms of the month and day. But that's
and then that's Cliff 314.
You know, if there's not a living will, there's not a will, then things go into probate and there can be all kinds of problems, and then it's not necessarily expressed.
Well, even if there's a will, it can go into probate.
Yeah.
Because you have to have like a trust, I think, to make it not go into probate.
So there could be some claim on the government's part or Cliff that is holding things up. If there is a legal will, then the subject's going to be notified on some level. Now, it's only been this person died in January, so it hasn't been a long time, and there may be a way to investigate that through an attorney if there is a will or a trust or something that was established, or whether it's in probate. That might even be public record. I don't know. You know, you'd have to, on that level, you could consult. Are you about to say something?
Well, I'm aware of all the legalities of it. I was just wondering if you had any psychic impressions on the situation.
Well,
yes.
My psychic sense, Cliff, is that she might have been a little. You said she was well put together and she was pretty thorough, but I'm getting she was a little bit clumsy here, a little bit careless.
Okay.
And not. The psychic impression is that she didn't have all of this in order. There also seems to be some mild, now hear me out, there seems to be some mild form of depression when this person was alive, living. I don't know
that.
If you're aware of that or your mother was aware of that, but there seemed to be some deep attitude of depression in the person, and that might have prompted her to sabotage her estate to some extent, but there seems to be something caught up there. Is there anything like that you're aware of?
Well, not really, but I could see that she wasn't married, and she hadn't been married for years, and she was possibly, I'm sure she was lonely. So, you know, that can certainly have an effect.
Did your mother ever watch her home for her or take care of her home during any absence on her part?
She lived in New York and her mother lived here in Detroit. So my mother kind of took care of things for her mother here on occasion.
For her mother?
I mean, they were, before Phyllis passed, her mother was here, and so my mother kind of looked out for her and did some things for her, but she didn't do anything for Phyllis in New York because she lived in New York.
So just want to get it straight. Phyllis is the woman that's 81, but her mother is the mother still alive?
No, she passed years ago.
Years ago. So you're saying when the mother was alive.
When the mother was alive, my mother would care for her mother. So that.
Right.
But as far as caring for Phyllis's home in New York, I don't know that ever happened.
Don't people sometimes put wills in safety deposit boxes? I mean, I'm just wondering who has access to her, you know, I don't know if she had bank vaults. You seem that someone with this kind of money would have.
She actually lived in Central Park West, and she recently sold that condo. Apparently, it was in the same building that Madonna lived in. She got a substantial amount on the sale of the condo because she was there for years and got the appreciated value of it. So,
Well, you know, Cliff,
expensive piece of real estate.
In the process of trying to divine something here psychically, and I'm talking about process. I'm not talking about conclusions yet, but I'm seeing a form of money that comes in to like $36,000. Somewhere that amount taken out of maybe a different kind of sum forthcoming. That seems to be in question as I'm doing this reading with you. We're trying to connect to you on this level. And there's something around 35, 37, somewhere in that zone mark that seems to be percolating in my head right now in regard to your question. Does 35 or 37,000 make any sense to you in any other area?
No, not at all.
Okay. Nothing?
No.
Yeah. Now, it's not that maybe not a big amount, and you're like kind of chuckling, thinking it's nothing related to anything that I would know of. But then again, you're not, I was just asking just to make sure it wasn't in your environment.
Well, in general, I mean, that could have some relevance to my finances, but.
That's what. Yeah, so can you elaborate real quick on that? I mean, without giving too much away.
Specifically, I don't know. It could
salary
maybe,
savings.
It could no, nothing that I can point to. I haven't had a loss. It could be the value of payoff amount for my home. I don't know.
Okay. That's
know.
Okay. You're getting creative.
Maybe. Well, maybe, but you know the. And that's just, I was just asking a question. To tell you the truth, if it does something to do with your home, that's fine. But the fact that you don't connect to it or relate to it is probably a stronger story for your mother. So,
right.
So
okay.
In there. Now you may be thinking, well, this woman has a vast fortune.
And
that's 37,000
isn't very much.
Isn't very much.
Yeah.
But again, I wanted to emphasize that I never meant to be a conclusion. It seems to be something that's maybe connected. Now, I you know, the only thing that I can, at this point, perhaps get closer to would be around May 25th, that there might be some indication on your mother's part. Has your mother, your own mother, has she ever had a problem with any of her legs, any diabetes, any problem with a leg? I'm sorry?
No diabetes. No diabetes. She injured her knee on one leg and ankle on another in a fall. So, yes.
Okay. So that's a yes.
In the fall or
in a fall?
In a fall.
Oh, and when did that happen?
That happened in 1988.
So
almost to the date.
Yeah.
Close to this
date
in 1988, yes.
And does she still suffer pains from that as she gets older?
Yes. Yes, she does.
Yeah. Okay, so you know what, Cliff? It's maybe a way of grasping some idea about this will by trying to feel an energy force around your mother and connecting to her. I indeed did, even though it was an old injury, it's still giving her pain, but it's an accurate validation of something I'm picking up on. And and so that might be some indication to answer your question as we're speaking, that there is something in the will factor for her forthcoming. It's not a promise, but it's more enlightening than not, you know?
Okay, Cliff. Well, let us know.
Well,
okay. We'll be interested to hear.
All righty. And thank
you
so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, he's a blast from the past. We haven't heard from him for quite a while.
Yeah.
Used to call a lot. But okay, so let's bring on Kate. 922-67, Neil. What's going on, Kate?
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
I don't have any real specific questions. Anything happening maybe for May coming up? there's going to be a family reunion trip, or I was interested in what Neil was saying about energy. I'd like to create some more excitement and energy of kind of creating something new.
Okay. We got to remember, always remember, Kate, that when we're out doing the show, you always, as a team, Chris and I work together as a team, so when we're talking, it's always going to be included as a team. I don't want to feel like it's just me being signaled out. That even makes me feel uncomfortable because we're working as a team. So always remember that.
How did I do that?
Oh, by just saying that I was talking about it, that we're both discussing the issues at hand. So you got to remember.
It was your voice that said it, so that was all I was referring to.
Okay. Well, you know, the element of your energy, you know, it's what's interesting is that I was picking up on, with the last caller, I was picking up a 36. Now, on a level aside from that, you know, we're going to keep that 36,000 in regard to the last caller. But you being the second caller, your master number is 36 equals 9.
Huh?
1323, yeah.
She's a 36 equals 9.
You're 36 equals 9.
And actually, just
nine,
to point out, she is, her year happens to be eclipse 31 inverted. So,
yeah. So there's, you know, sometimes the proximity of two callers calling one after another, there's a vibration sometimes.
And actually, additionally, in Cliff's 328, her 36 is, the 6 is hidden there. So you see between the 2 and the 8. So
together, their numbers become a 13-2. Well,
a 13 as well. No, not a 13-2,
okay.
A 13-4.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it becomes a 13, but you see the...
Right.
Their days and months add up to 13.
Yes.
And today is a 22. So what I'm getting in regard to this, Kate, is, well, you mentioned something about me. Yeah. What I'm getting is travel.
Great.
I see some traveling coming up.
She's going to a family reunion, which you mentioned, but
you are
not really thinking that it's traveling because you're not remembering she's from Washington.
Okay, so the family reunion, does that require a plane flight or?
Yes, not far, just near you guys. Just I'm going down to LA.
Oh,
it's down here rather than north.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm in the Bay Area now.
Right, but your family. I thought you were from Washington.
Oh, back home. Right, we're going to a different place. Yeah.
Well. You know, my brain, what I'm just said right now is a fresh feeling.
Vibration.
I'm not collecting what you'd said before. My head was drifting off into what, you know, how I was going to do a reading here for you.
Right.
But that travel. Now at that reunion, I see a male figure. I don't know if it's a cousin, but it's weird because there seems to be a sense of attraction. To your knowledge, are you attracted to, well, that's hard to say on the air, but there's and I don't know, you know, how to clearly define what this attraction is, but do you have any male peers that might be at that reunion that you know of?
Not that I know of yet.
Okay, not that you know of, but are you aware of everybody that's coming?
Yes, everybody that's coming is like brother or sister, you know, very direct relationship, but I do have additional friends in the LA area.
Well, okay, is there anybody currently in the LA area, Kate, that you could potentially be attracted to?
Not at this moment.
Well,
there might be someone connected to a friend, though. It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
How long are you staying out in the LA area?
It's a long weekend, like 4 days.
And where are you staying?
Anaheim.
Okay, so you could potentially, are you right now single? Are you single?
She's single.
Yeah.
And you're not in a relationship?
Yeah, when's the last, what year, when did you have your last relationship, Kate?
The most serious one, it was a while now, it was probably 5 years ago.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm getting for you.
That would be 45.
I guess what I'm approaching is a relationship coming. It could be that the reunion manifests something, and then from there it happens in another part of the geography. But it seems to be that either this trip that you're going to be having, when's the trip scheduled?
Memorial Day weekend.
Well, somewhere around there, Kate, either after the trip or during the trip, suddenly a spark is lit. There's a spark.
Oh,
and it seems to be that a relationship then approaches your energy, which could in fact be something stronger by the time you reach September 22nd. And don't forget, today's date comes to a 22 in numerical value. And 922, I see a relationship coming is what I'm seeing. And I don't know if that's what you are looking for.
She is looking for it. She's mentioned it before.
Yeah.
Okay. And how old are you going to be here?
She's going to be 50.
The big 50.
And 5 years ago, she had a relationship. So.
Well.
That's
according
to her five.
It's not a multiple of nine.
No,
but it is 14 years past the age of 36.
Which is a five.
Yeah.
Which is a five. So.
Well, that's what we're getting right now. So maybe what the best position to look at as we speak is that a relationship, as far as this reading goes, a relationship possibly coming somewhere between May, the end of May, and before September.
Okay.
But you know, there may be, I don't know. So I don't know how the cousin got into it.
Sometimes people date their cousins.
They do. I mean, were you ever
just kidding? Well, they do, but I don't think it's going to be just.
Did you ever think that one of your cousins, you know, not
was
a
attractive.
Relationship, was attractive?
No, they were like my brothers. I was closer to my cousins than my own brothers and sisters.
Hmm.
Well, then maybe the attraction is defined as that emotional. You know, the attraction is really not sexual, but it's the attraction of feeling close.
I could see that for sure. Yeah.
So that's maybe where it's coming from. So it could morph into the attraction of a person who isn't a cousin, but feels like a cousin, feels like close.
Right.
So it could ultimately mean something very nice for you coming up.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Like a good start of a relationship to feel that way.
All right, Kate. Well, hopefully that's helpful.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We have Cheryl.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I was sitting here thinking what to ask about. And I rarely talk about her, but I'm having major problems with my oldest daughter. And I don't want you guys to scold me. I could probably tell you, but my life's changed a lot in the past month, and I just don't respond the same way, like, you know, to people pushing buttons or that kind of thing.
Okay.
And I want to say it, but I don't want you guys to get mad at me. You'll know what I'm talking about, okay? Okay, McKenna, okay? And I know I already talked to you guys about that, so I'm not going to go into it. But I just don't react to things now. It's like my anxiety and everything is not what it used to be. And my daughter's like trying to manipulate me. And I'm just like, you know, have a great day. And normally I would fire back. I'm the kind of person just go back and forth with somebody, but I'm not.
In this case, you're not. So
no. In all cases, I mean, she took anything that, you know, usually it's like my attitude. It's like, you know, I'll jump in front of a train for my kids. I'll do this. And now she's like, oh, I'm talking to family about you. She's making up stuff. She'll make up fake email addresses. And now I'm like able to just say, you know what? Just release her. And I mean, even though she's my daughter and it wouldn't be my thinking. Anyways.
Well, let me just quickly ask what her birth date is. I know we've gotten it before,
February,
but I don't have it here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't even know if we ever covered her. 2586.
Yeah, we've gotten her. I remember that birth date, but 17. So she's almost, how old is she? 30? Almost? She's 29?
31, yeah. And I think she's, I think she's actually like a sociopath. I really do. I mean, like looking all into it. You know how it's like, not to throw the word around because everyone will say my ex was, but I mean, I really believe that she's believing her own lies and she's really, really vindictive. I mean, she's okay. She cried when she went to school at high school, said her dad died in 9/11. That didn't happen. She said she got hit by a car like 5 years ago. And I'm like, well, let's go get the police report. And it didn't happen.
So she's
really delusional.
Liar. Sounds like she lied.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the thing is, I have given why I actually had to like release is because I give 100% of myself to my kids. I'll be heartfelt about exactly what I think and what's going on and help them. And it's like, she has no feelings about anything. You know, I was sick in 2014, almost died. And she lived on the property and she never came in. How are you, mom? How are you this? How are you that? So yeah, she's just heartless, you know, and it's sad because she's boxed up in a little package. She looks like she's sweet and she's not. And this is my kid I'm talking about. So you can imagine how sad that is to even.
How do you spell her name? Is it M-A-K or M-C-K? E-N-N-A?
Oh, no, Amber, A-M-B-E-R.
Oh, I thought you said McKenna. What was that?
No, well, yeah. Neil, do you know what that means? Well, I guess
what
that's just
that
my code word for a call that I made. Like, I made a call, like, the beginning of February asking some advice, and it was tied to that. So.
Oh, yeah. No, he wouldn't remember that. Okay. So,
okay.
All right. I'm sorry if I asked your name if you didn't want to reveal that. Sorry about that. You know what's weird is that another they're fours together. What were we getting all these 13 fours today on the show?
Well, she
9 and 4.
She's 31. Her mass number is 31. She's 31 years old.
Right, and
so
they become 9 and 4 become a 13-4 together. Cheryl's a 9. She's born 7/7/66.
You know, it's an escape clause for her, Cheryl. She's probably learned this pattern as a form of escaping from some other kind of reality in her life that she wasn't able to cope with. A lot of times people will, it's not so much that they lie. I mean, it turns out to be sort of a lie, but it's kind of like Walter Mitty. They create a world of drama mixed up into fantasy that excuses them from the trauma or the conditions of what their life is. Now, you know, maybe you did the best you could. Maybe there were conflicts that she was internalizing that wasn't part of your experience in terms of analyzing something or experiencing something. But she seems to have my take is that there seems to be something kind of askew about her psyche in terms of how she copes with reality. And a lot of times when people stir up trouble, it's because they experience trouble in their own life. And what they want to do is they don't want to hold on to that trouble. So they give it to somebody else and they stir up trouble. They're troublemakers. And sometimes it's through malicious gossip. A lot of times that happens in our society where people say a rumor about somebody and that rumor gets out of hand and there's all kinds of problems that occur. There's a lot of dramas about people creating rumors about affairs, you know, dramas about little children saying things that aren't true and causing all kinds of havoc. We're not saying that your daughter your experience with her may be very real and your assessment may be conditioned by those experiences. What I'm feeling is something deeper going on in your daughter that has to do with an escape clause that unfortunately has channeled into a behavior pattern that probably isn't healthy.
Yeah, why? I wonder what went on with her, like when she was in her early childhood. I mean, how was she?
Well, what it is it's like her whole, like her dad is basically was always in legal trouble, okay? And was a, you know, drug addict and just, I mean, I was married from like age 18 to 19. I mean, it was a ridiculous part of my life. I swear I've lived like 10 lifetimes in this life. So she would go see her grandparents every other week, and I think there was conflict there. Even though I was close to her grandmother, the grandfather took it really hard that his son was always incarcerated. So it kind of made it where I was kind of the enemy, but I never knew it because I was young, a young mom. So she kind of got mixed messages with, you know, their resentment about where their son's at and me. And so I think that had a lot to do with it. You know, my other kids never had to deal with any of that.
So your other kids are from a different father?
Yeah.
Are they from the three from the same father? You have four kids, right?
Yeah, I have four kids. The oldest three.
So there's three.
I was like married for 12 years.
So three from the same father, one from another.
Yeah.
That's interesting too, because it's a 3-1.
Yeah. And you know, that experience as a child is going to be different than the shared experience as an adult that you had. So that.
However it impacted her, probably it affected her behavior now.
So
the trauma of that.
It's going to be a tough one, Cheryl, to figure that, to take that. I mean, I guess that a very good quality of communication could work, but it could take an ample amount of wisdom and patience and understanding and dialoguing. And sometimes that can be done, you know, Walton fashion, like the Waltons, or you have to kind of go into therapy.
Does she get along with the other siblings?
No, a matter of fact, the boyfriend she's had for 10 years made him isolate himself from his parents. My other kids don't get along with her. I mean, she's been challenged a little slow, but it's like she's in her own delusional world, and she's the only one who doesn't see it. You know, she thinks she's got everything perfect. She's never driven, never had a job. She's 31. She's on disability, but it's just something I don't want to deal with right now. You know, I'm handling my son at home. I want my peace. And I don't need to cling to this. Maybe she needs to sit for a while and see that you could say whatever you want. I already, like, my family and stuff, they all love me. So it's like her spreading rumors, I don't care. Or not, it's not just rumors. She's just like, oh, I'm going to tell people this, or people know how you are. Or then it's like, you wouldn't take a bullet for me like you said you ever would. Or she knows whatever bush, you know, buttons to push that would upset me. But I really don't care what she says anymore. You know, I'm just lost it and said, you know what, when people are mental, you need to stay away from me. Because also there was another thing years ago. Her papa, which she's very close to, she went into therapy talking about her life, and they're like, well, he's never done anything to you, has he? And she's like, no, I'm lucky he hasn't, but, you know, something could have happened. I'm glad it didn't. So she put up a red flag. The police go to her grandfather's house. He's like, what? She's like, no, I was just in therapy saying I'm glad nothing's ever happened to me. So I said, you need to be careful what you say to people. You have to understand the laws and manipulating, and she's turned a lot of family away. Yeah, so no, she doesn't have, my mother's not talking with her, but you know, my mother's another, I'm sandwiched in between,
you know, that
the two
that
chaoses.
Illusion, that illusion that I was referring to was called The Children's Hour. It was a, I think, a book and then a movie, a play. I think you hearing what you're, where you're coming from, it's best that you create some distance. And, she, you know, whether she's been in therapy or not, or effective therapy is a better term, is probably something she still should take advantage of. And
try maybe find an effective therapist. But she's, unfortunately, it's going to be up to her. I mean, Cheryl has no control over what the daughter does. And she sounds like she's not really in a position where she wants to get help. She's kind of...
So, yeah, and if she, if you're not letting her push your buttons, then that means the farther, you know, create some distance, and don't allow your guilt or your sense of commitment and responsibility to be confused with the idea that you have to cultivate her pathology and you know, make sure that she's satisfied that she's affecting you. That's not a healthy.
No, that's the whole thing is like, I finally am not affected at all. That's what I was trying to use kind of code. But anyways, I'm not affected at all now. I used to be, but I've had a recent awakening. And so it doesn't bother me anymore. You know, I don't own that stuff or that chaos or the victim mentality. I never liked that anyhow. But it's like, I don't know if everybody can be fixed through therapy. If they stay in, if they're like far gone in their illusion or narcissism, or if they're not open-minded to say, look, I've got to know where my weaknesses are and where my strengths are both. And they're in total denial. I don't know if anyone can always crack that with people.
I agree. If someone has too deep pathology, you're not going to be able to fix them. But I mean, it's yet to be determined in terms of this conversation what level your daughter is at. I mean, you're presenting your side to us and everything, but it would take a talented therapist to investigate and see what could be changed. And it sounds like the people that have been involved in her life as far as guiding her in a professional manner have not been effective.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, well, thank you.
You
therapy
were going to say something,
Neil? Therapy isn't an all fix all. And by all means, a lot of times it just doesn't work. It's just not the answer. So, you know, your daughter,
maybe she's a past life sister.
You know, she's got to grow up. And if she can't grow up, then that's not your responsibility. You've done your job and good for
that's
you.
Right. That's right. Thank you so much. That's right. Because she says you're supposed to act like a mama. I need my mother. My mama, she calls me just real weird kind of things that are like really kind of creepy. And it's like, you know, that's your duty. This is what you have to do. And I'm thinking, well, where's your kid's responsibility? Because there's a kid's responsibility to respect their elders. What happened to that? You know, because I don't go off the deep end. I try to give wise advice and I understand that not everybody will agree with it, but I do it with love and it's okay.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that's a kind of a cheap way of making somebody feel responsible. Yeah, you're her mother. Yes, that's true. And there's a certain commitment there. But to use that as a scheme to keep you feeling horrible about yourself is not.
Right. And I just want to clarify that, you know, my statement was regarding the professional help she's received, not you as a mother, you know. Because honestly.
Right. No, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I totally know where I've been and where I've come through. And I know I talked to you guys a couple months ago about a retreat and I was like, push back, pull back, already registered. And I'm like, I went with my calling and my life has changed. So you guys will know what I'm talking about. So even if it's once, I'll tell you, it was really what I needed.
Right. And as I was saying, Carol, if she has deep seated psychological issues, you as a mother are not responsible for that or going to be able to remedy it. She needs someone else to help.
That's right. I'll just keep a distance and keep a distance and without guilt. I'll call back on Friday. We'll discuss my mom.
Okay.
I tell you, it's the hand. Look, it's a deck I was dealt in life. This is it. It's perfectly fine. I'm just, whatever the truth is, I'm going to be living it, you know, but I'll be easy on myself. So you guys have a great day. Thank you as always.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Cheryl.
Okay.
All right. We are out of time, Neil. So we are back on the air at 9 a.m. Pacific on Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers and listeners. See you then. Or we won't see you. We'll hear from you then.
Yeah, the third eye, you don't underestimate.
I had someone just send me an email that said, oh, you know, watch, saying to watch something that I was supposed to listen to, and I was laughing about that. So I kind of just did the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Bye-bye.